The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As Deb indicated, the theme for today and next Sunday, where we will more fully discuss the line about forgiving sins not seven, but 77 times, the theme is forgiveness. This morning is cause for great celebration. During the announcements, it will be my pleasure to introduce you to our new children's ministry coordinator. It will also be my pleasure to announce our new interim cantor. During the time of prayer, we'll be welcoming eight of you as new members of our congregation. And with all of you, we will bless the backpacks as we pray for those returning to school and the exciting possibilities that await them for learning and growth. This morning is cause for great celebration for our congregation, for our ministry, for our life together in Jesus Christ. And yet, our readings today, this is just my luck, all presuppose quite the opposite of celebration. With all this talk of iniquity, of transgression, of stealing, coveting, conflict, wickedness, and sins, the readings for today all presuppose failure, which is the cause for anything but celebration. Now, failure in what, you might ask? On the surface, these readings all address moral failure, the failure to live up to God's high standards. But on a deeper level, these readings are really talking about another kind of failure, the failure to live together harmoniously and peacefully the way God intended. Consider, for example, the Ten Commandments. Paul mentions several of them in our second reading. Which are they? Take a look. Which are they? We have some juicy ones here. Adultery. Murdering. Licentiousness, that'll come later, not to worry. Stealing and coveting. These are four of the Ten Commandments. Now, among them, adultery, murdering, and stealing are pretty clear in meaning. What does coveting mean? Jealousy of what? somebody else's stuff. That's a wonderful definition. Coveting, jealousy of somebody else's stuff. In other words, coveting means wrongful desire, the desire of things that are not yours, things that belong to your neighbor. When we think of these commandments, it's easy to assume that we follow them simply because God says, simply because they are morally wrong before God. But the Apostle Paul offers another reason. What is the purpose of God's law, the Ten Commandments, according to Paul in our second reading? Take another look. Is it to gain God's approval? To earn gold stars from the Lord? No. The purpose of the law is love. The purpose of the law is to care for our neighbor. Martin Luther says it beautifully. God doesn't need your good deeds. Your neighbor does. God doesn't need your good deeds. Your neighbor does. We refrain, therefore, from stealing, coveting, adultery, and murder because all these things harm other people, not simply because God forbids them. Now, look again at the second reading. Do you see those references to the works of the flesh? What are they? We already heard one of them. Licentiousness. What else? We have debauchery. We have reveling. Watch out, no revelers. We have drunkenness. We have quarreling. We have jealousy. Now, when we hear about these desires of the flesh, as Paul calls them in verse 14, some of us assume that they are bad, because the body, with all its cravings and carnal desires, is bad. This is baggage. Baggage that we have inherited from puritanical forms of Christianity, like Calvinism. Paul, like Jesus, however, was not a Calvinist. These men were Jewish. Neither Paul nor Jesus saw the body as evil. Their God and ours, after all, made the world and pronounced it good repeatedly in the first chapter of Genesis. The reason these works of flesh are bad is not because the body is bad, but because just like when we violate the Ten Commandments, they harm others and divide communities. In context, Paul was, with the exception of his letter to Philemon, writing to groups of people, communities of faith. In fact, when Paul says you in the original Greek, it's almost always in the plural. It's as if Paul was from Texas and he's saying y'all. Y'all. He knew, obviously, that quarreling and jealousy, but also reveling and drunkenness, could divide these communities, and so he condemned these behaviors as works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit, which Paul contrasts with the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, and which includes things like patience, gentleness, and generosity, these are things that unite community. These are things that bring us together. That is why they are good and why works of the flesh are bad. So to sum this up, why would Paul invite his audiences to avoid works of the flesh like debauchery, drunkenness, reveling, licentiousness, quarreling, and jealousy, not only in Rome, but also to churches in Corinth and Galatia? Why would Ezekiel, our first reading, warn the wicked to turn from their ways? And why would Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, instruct his disciples on how to handle disputes or conflict? because presumably these were things happening in each of these communities. Why would these authors bring them up otherwise? Ezekiel, Paul, and Matthew's Jesus were all correcting behaviors that threatened to divide their respective communities and sow discord in the place of harmony and communal peace. So here we, on this rally day, on this day of great celebration, find ourselves reading texts written for communities that were struggling. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? To read about disputes, quarrels, and behaviors that threaten to tear apart these communities on a day when we at Queen Anne Lutheran have so much to celebrate. And yet, the Lord is calling. And yet, what a gift these readings are. Each of them contain a great reminder to us that life together as a congregation won't always be this way. There will be, as with these communities, bumps on the road ahead, times where we won't measure up, where some of us, where some of you feel let down because our congregation isn't perfect, just as these communities weren't perfect. Dear friends, it is precisely in those times where you must remember, where you are new members, and even you are long-term members, where you are parents, and you are long-term volunteers, you must remember in these times of conflict that grace defines us as a congregation and that we're in this together, that we are a family of faith. And there are going to be times on the road ahead, just as in these communities, where I, as your pastor, am not going to measure up to your expectations, where I too may not meet your standards, where I too have or will fail. It is just in those moments that I invite you to follow the example of Paul, of Ezekiel, and Jesus, to not give up, to stick with our ministry and our life together. And it is just in those moments that I invite you to do something else, to remember something that gives us today great cause for celebration. We have the gospel. We have the gospel, and today we find that gospel most clearly not in the gospel reading, not in the second reading from Paul, but most clearly in the first reading, in Ezekiel, verse 11, the last sentence of the text. As I live, it says, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked, and by extension all of us who come up short, turn from their ways and live. That is the Old Testament God, a God who forgives. God, we discover in this passage, would rather forgive than punish. God would rather forgive than punish. That's the gospel in the Old Testament. God forgives again and again and again and again. And in spite of all our mistakes and failures, myself included, moments where we don't love our neighbor as we should, moments where we quarrel, where we gossip, where we become jealous or defensive, moments where division occurs in our communities, God calls us back again and again and again to unity, to communal life, to hitting the reset button, to giving us a fresh start. Dear friends, this morning, this rally day, we have so much to celebrate. New members we welcome into the congregation. New staff we welcome into our ministry. New horizons of possibility we welcome onto our calendars. And new opportunities for growth and learning for the children we welcome with the coming school year. Yes, there will be mistakes and challenges in our life together on the road ahead. But greater than all these mistakes is the God who forgives them, who invites us to deal with all the setbacks and annoyances and irritations that come with communal life, including even that tiresome incarnation, your neighbor. With all these things that confront us, we are invited to try again. For the rewards of communal life are far greater than Seattle isolation, and the gospel of forgiveness is far greater than our conflicts and quarrels that inevitably arise, but can be and have been conquered. This is the gospel for Rally Day, and this is truly something to celebrate. And all God's people said,
Amen.
You do that once more?
Amen.
Thanks be to God.